You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. OBM, Ohio Business Machines, preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns. Know that every day is game day in your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com. Nathan Zagura, the Kia. Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea, eating some tasty treats from the guys. Good crab cake. I'm enjoying the crab cake right
now. Solid.
It was a solid crab cake. Some chicken skewers. We got some bruschetta, as it were.
You two skinny guys aren't bread guys, but that bruschetta is tasty.
It looks very, very good. I'm just avoiding
it. You didn't even have it. You didn't even go for it.
I'm avoiding the carbohydrates.
What if you just, like, suck the bruschetta off the bread?
I'll just eat the tomato off the top.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, tomato
off
the top. Next break. You're in. Let's go to the phones now, and let's bring in a guy who's quickly becoming one of our favorite callers.
Yes!
All the way north of the border. NAFTA in full effect. Cam from Canada. Cam, what's up?
Oh, my goodness.
How do you feel about that, Cam?
We rolled out the white and red carpet for you.
That's right. Get the maple leaf. Let's go.
Very humble, very humble. You know, I know I've been kind of saying this a little bit here, but the thing I want to remind people of, if this is a business, and if your business makes $500,000, $400,000 in 2013, and the next year they make $700,000, they've increased by 75%. These guys inherited a four-win football team. It's not their responsibility to undo what happened in 99 or 67 or 2003. They inherited a $400,000 business, and they made $700,000 last year. They're stopping the bleeding. You can't gauge them. They're not the Dallas Cowboys. They didn't inherit the New England Patriots. They inherited a four-win football team. Give them a break, fans.
Cam, I think you're right. It is interesting. At times you would think that Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer have presided over a huge downturn, when in fact you're right. They have gone from four wins to seven wins. It needs to keep going. And I think what people are concerned about right now, as I hear them, is that, okay, we did that, but Buster Skrine was a part of those seven wins. Jabal Sheard was a part of those seven wins. Brian Hoyer, it was a part of those seven wins. Jordan Cameron as well. So how are we addressing that? And yes, we brought in Brian Hartline. Yes, we brought in Josh McCown. But you need to do some other things and bring in some more talent, some playmakers, et cetera. And I think as you let this whole process play out with all these draft picks and this free agency, then we can really get into where the roster's at. I know that right now it seems tough because you're not seeing what's going on and you're not feeling like, oh man, we're getting this guy and that guy and this guy. I do think some signings are going to start trickling in, some guys that are going to be solid contributors to this team and help this roster.
I do as well, and I think, again, we'll be the most exciting team in the NFL draft with the most picks and two first-round picks. That all being said, I had this conversation with Kevin Jones yesterday, and we were just talking about, had last football season and Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer's first year on the job gone differently? And I think the fact that we got to 7-4, and that's what everybody who was in favor of Brian Hoyer and in favor of this football team and kind of like why they feel so upset, like we need to make these drastic changes, had we never been 7-4 and say that, you know, the last five games, say we got to, 5-5, and then we played 500 football through the rest of the season and finished at 8-8, you know, or we lose a close one to end the season and finish at 7-9, which is where we did, people are not going to have this negative, like, huge makeover feeling and this like angst against this first year regime in Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine. They would have been, it's that 0-5 feeling and the disarray that they felt because of the lack of production at the quarterback position by Brian Hoyer. And then someone that you put so much faith in and put so much potential in drafting Johnny Manziel in the first round to come out and fall flat on his face. It's just significant disappointment on top of disappointment, which gets taken away from you very quickly, and all of a sudden you're in a 6-month offseason, and you expect this drastic makeover to fix
and
that.
Had, to be fair, and, you've had Josh Gordon suspended for the year. You've had Johnny go to rehab.
It's the Cleveland factor, too. I mean, you and I grew up here. Nate didn't. But the Cleveland factor, people, it's almost like a woe is me. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I think that there's a lot of Cleveland fans that they don't even know it, but they sort of like the negative. You know, they thrive on the negativity.
Yes.
And you really have to look at it individually, take yourself out of it and say, look, this is the plan. And if this is the plan and it works, then all this other stuff doesn't matter.
Right. And in most cases, what Nathan and I have said is there's one simple thing that Cleveland Browns fans want that when it happens, how we got there and who does it is absolutely irrelevant, and that's winning and a playoff berth and championships, because in some cases, that is the only way a Cleveland Browns fan can reference the good feelings that they have associated with the Cleveland Browns, which was the Bernie era, the Sipe era, the Jim Brown era, which is way before I was born.
Yeah. And you know, you do need to see the fruits of your labor. So it is important that we still start seeing, you know, we continue to see signs of, as our Canadian friend said, going from 400,000 to 700,000 tonight. We do need to keep the needle pointed in the right direction. But that being said, there's a way to do it, and I love the way Ray Farmer's doing it.
Let's go now to Al in Mansfield. Al, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Just a hypothetical question, I guess, but spring practice has started in Columbus, and if it would become obvious that Cardale's not going to be the one that Urban picks, would he be eligible to apply for the supplemental draft?
I don't think so. I think if he would have graduated from school, which...
Or was out of a school, right? But how did... Didn't Terrell Pryor go into the supplemental draft?
Well...
Yes, because he was suspended.
I don't know the rules.
I don't think if you're eligible,
I like the way you're thinking,
in school,
though.
I don't think that you can just bypass the draft and
you go. You ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
And go into the supplemental draft. We got a tweet right here talking about Cam in Canada. At Buckeye Militia says, was that caller at a Christmas recital? That was the Canadian national anthem. Oh, Canada. Let's go to Mark in Bowling Green. Mark, welcome to the show.
You there, Mark?
Mark, are you there?
We know you're excited, Mark. You there?
Let's go to Jim in Elyria. What's up, Jim?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man.
So you love the way Ray Farmer is doing it. What is Ray Farmer doing that you love?
He's stockpiling draft picks. He's taking, I think his draft last year, save for the first round, was one of the best drafts in Browns history. And we have more picks than anyone coming into this year. He's got more compensatory picks coming for next year. That's the way you win in the NFL.
Yeah, how has that worked for the Browns in the past?
Okay, but
I don't understand what blueprint you guys are looking at. All the other teams that finished better than us, that have been in playoffs before, are getting guys in free agency,
like,
and
New
we're
England?
Looking at it snubbing. You know, like we know what we're doing, and we don't know what we're doing. And you think that Ray Farmer's plan is right on, huh?
Well, you're saying that these teams that are in the playoffs, like Green Bay, who signed only their own free agents, New England, who loses free agents. I mean, cite some examples of some teams.
Well, when you've done the right moves in the past through free agency, you don't have to do it again.
But those teams build through the draft. The Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay,
how,
so who does who has Green
the
Bay
draft
signed?
Work for the Browns.
Who
how
has Green Bay? I don't work for anybody,
team?
My friend. Who
how
has Green Bay ever
team?
Signed as a free agent?
How come we don't have a winning team?
Who has Green Bay ever signed as a free agent?
I'm asking you a question. How come we don't
Julius
have a winning
Peppers.
Team in Cleveland?
Julius Peppers, that's right.
Why don't we have a winning team? Because we lost more games than we won last year. But that doesn't mean that the way you build a winning team. If you want to talk facts, I'll talk facts with you. But you're not talking facts.
I just wanted to call because I just think what a pathetic way of looking at stuff. You guys are pathetic. Thanks. Have a great day.
I hope that makes you feel good. I hope when you look in the mirror, that's like,
I'm really
man,
pathetic.
I feel good.
I'm
my,
sure
my
that
national
guy.
My championship ring and my Super Bowl ring mean nothing.
You're
because
pathetic.
The collar just made me, called me pathetic.
But you look good in a V-neck.
I'm sure that guy has a real happy life, too.
You do look killer. You do look good in a V-neck. Somebody brought us food just so that we could eat it on air. So
For free.
That
definitely doesn't suck.
That's definitely not pathetic. Doesn't feel pathetic.
Keep them coming, Gibbs.
Let's
I'm ready
to Mark.
For them.
Let's go to Danny in Southern California. Danny, welcome to the show.
You find the loan. The loan. Hello?
Hey, what's up? Find it, whatever we're looking for.
Hey, I was just wanting to know, I'm off of the draft right now in free agency. I'm looking at, you know, is there any way we can get Josh Gordon's suspension reduced? I mean, the guy went on a team trip with his teammates. I mean,
it wasn't
a team function,
it was a personal function.
Yeah, I'm talking about free Josh Gordon right now. I'm trying to be positive. I want a free. Nobody cares about him except for me. I want to bring him back this year. We need him. We need to open the top off of the defenses. Take the top off.
I like the way you're thinking. However, I was with you. I was a free Josh Gordon man last year. I didn't really like his attitude, his body language, the way he played last year. I didn't think he gave us a full effort. So I would rather go into the season knowing we're not having him, not thinking he's going to give us this big lift when he comes back, and just go with the guys that are on the deck right now.
You want Josh Gordon to come back, and you want him to play at the level you saw in 2013. It was tantalizing. He was the leading receiver in the NFL in only 14 games. You didn't see that same guy last year. I thought after all that time off, you'd come back and you'd see a guy completely dedicated, focused, and determined to come out and clear his name and clear his reputation. You didn't see that on the field. You didn't see that off the field. So Josh Gordon, I'm not sure he ever plays again in the NFL, and I'm not sure he ever plays for the Browns, obviously, as a result of that. And if he does, that would be great. We'll see what happens there. I just don't know that I see that happening in the long term with Josh Gordon. I think people are upset. Listen, the Browns quarterback situation, is it great right now? No, it is not. But Josh McCown was, whether you don't have to listen to me, but you could go read what Ross Tucker said. You could go read what many of the NFL pundits have said, guys like Adam Schefter. The hottest free agent quarterback in this market was Josh McCown. Like it or not, that's who the Browns ended up with. Johnny Manziel has played six quarters in the NFL, and literally people give him as much of a chance of being a quarterback right now, it seems, as they give this Matt Wilhelm bobblehead. By the way, you have your own bobblehead.
That's right.
Holding a national championship.
Definitely not pathetic.
Not pathetic. Well, at least one of us is not. That's good. And me and the kid, I think, are
fine,
men.
I'll get you a bobblehead.
I think we're fine. I think we're good. The kid doesn't work for anybody. So, you know, the fact that people have written him off to that degree, I think, is a little bit overstating it. Again, and I didn't write an article that said that. Pete Prisco did for CBS. We had him on the show. The Browns have building to do. The Browns are not a team right now that seems like it's going to go to the Super Bowl. Is this saying that they can't win in the short term? No, they're trying to take incremental steps and do it the right way. They want to build, and you need to re-sign your own players. That's why you tender Gip. That's why they tendered Craig Robertson. Saying that you didn't re-sign your own players is because certain guys left. Brian Hoyer, they wanted Josh McCown over Brian Hoyer, just like the Buffalo Bills wanted Josh McCown over Brian Hoyer, and other teams in the NFL did. So they made a decision on that front. The only homegrown guys that they let go here would be Buster, Jabal, and Jordan Cameron. Jordan Cameron, free agency, is a two-way street. Could you have tagged them? Perhaps, but
for equivalent money, right?
It would have been $7 million guaranteed in the first year.
Okay, so would you have matched? Let's say you tag them. Would you match that? I wouldn't.
If you tagged him, what are you saying?
If you tagged him, you would, like, basically what you would have to do is, like with Alex Mack, you'd have the option of matching that offer.
Right.
I don't think you
matched
that offer.
I don't know that they would have matched it. I don't know they would have matched it. I think they were very concerned about the injury history.
Absolutely.
And I know the deal that he signed, even though people saw numbers that were put out there, I don't know. The Browns never confirmed anything. And I do think he ended up getting more money ultimately from the Miami Dolphins. Buster Skrine just got paid $6.25 million to play nickelback for the Jets.
For the, what was he, 82nd rated corner by Pro Football Focus?
And when you actually see the money and see the market, now Chris Culliver got $8 million a year. Crow at this stage of his career got $8 million a year. Guys were getting more money than him, and he didn't have as hot of a market as people thought that he was going to have. The one player who I thought is going to end up being great at his new team is going to be Jabal Sheard. But wasn't a fit. Look at his numbers. 15.5 sacks the first 2 years as a 4-3 DM. 5.5 the last two as a 3-4 outside linebacker. That's just not his position. He's a 4-3 hand in the ground defensive end. And he's going to go to New England where they're going to use those hybrid multiple fronts and they're going to utilize what he does best. That just doesn't fit this defense. I think the Browns would have liked to have kept Jabal Sheard or Buster at the right price. And I know people say, well, you can't talk about the right price anymore because you have a salary cap and you need to spend it and the Browns have all this money. If all of a sudden you do overspend on guys that you aren't that committed to, you look at who are the A-list players on the Browns. Joe Thomas was retained into a long-year deal. Joe Hayden was retained into a long-year deal. Alex Mack was retained now into a long-year deal. That's it.
And also, too, that being said, is if we want to bring up the name Josh Gordon staying clean and producing the way in 2013 would have been retained and probably paid $8 million a year for the next 5 years here in Cleveland, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I also want to say this. This is the one thing that frustrates me, is that nobody gives Ray Farmer any credit. And I'll sit here and I will argue with you guys until I'm blue in the face. And if you want to take this argument on, tell me how he did not improve the team in terms of free agency, and the draft and undrafted free agents last year. Tell me how he did not add significant contributors to this team at good price points in free agency and also then through the draft. Everybody's fixated on Gilbert and Manziel. I understand you didn't get what you wanted from Gilbert and Manziel, but to write them off as being completely lost and say you've blown the first round and that you're never getting anything from them, I think at this point is premature. Even if you didn't get anything from Gilbert and Manziel last year, the team was still significantly better based on who they got in the draft, who they got also as an undrafted free agent, and what they did in free agency. And the Mac deal, as Sean the Cardiac Kid points out, it's really a two-year deal disguised as a long-term deal. They do have the opportunity at the end of that. There's a lot of things that can be done with the Alex Mack situation to lock him up if he wants to do it. All right, there we go. 216-578-0850. If you have something to say, call us up. Browns helmet guy, call us up.
But bring actual facts and real arguments, not just, oh, we haven't won in 20 years. Blah, 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 blah.
Tell me why.
What you sound like, people.
Browns helmet guy, call up and say what we've this. Can you? No way you guys believe the stuff you're spewing last year. I completely believe it. Tell me why. Tell me why we're wrong and come with like a good factual argument. I'm totally happy to have people tell me that they think I'm wrong. Let's just have a discussion about it and let's talk through it. Your side, my side. We'll all talk about it and we'll do that. And the kid's got no side. The kid's his own man. I work for no one. Quote of the year, I think, on Browns Daily. I love that one. All right, we'll be back with more phone calls on this fun edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.